This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells from pets, cooking, damp basement, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the 3-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. According to Fox News, Dems are building momentum despite the GOP advantage. You can choose to believe that, or you can be skeptical. These polls don't always tell you the full story. But one thing that I do think is a telling marker of where we're at as a country and where things are headed is how people are feeling about crime, about protecting themselves. And a lot of times you'll see these patterns in what's happening in D.C., what's happening in politics, and also what's happening at gun stores. They do seem to have a connection. And joining us now to talk about that and to take all of your questions is Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Toby, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, always a pleasure to be here. Grace, thanks so much for having me.
All right. And Toby, I want to let people know that if they want to call in, the number is 844-500-4242. We'll take all of your calls for Toby, whether it be about a type of gun, a type of ammunition, a licensing question, or just a question about some of the classes at Cape Gunworks. Now is the time to call in. You've got about 45 minutes to get on the line and talk to Toby. It's 844-500-4242. And the segment, 2A Tuesday, is sponsored by Fairway Financial and Cape Cod's retirement income specialist, Steve Anzoni. Go to fairwayfinancial.net. So, Toby, I had just mentioned that a lot of times I find it interesting to hear what's going on with the sale of guns, because I think it tells you a little bit about the psyche of where people are at in this country. Crime is up right now in a lot of cities. What are you seeing at Cape Gunworks, and what does it tell you about what you think might happen in the midterms?
Yeah, that's a great question, Grace. And I will say that we had a very strong summer at Cape Gunworks. We had a little bit of a slowdown as people got back to school. You know, kind of that's pretty normal for this time of year, a little bit of a slowdown. And then now in the second and third week of September, things seem to be ramping back up. I think people realize that this, you know, and I'm not an alarmist by any stretch of the imagination. I think most people know I don't try to play on people's fears or whatever. I do respond a lot to people worried that tomorrow all guns will be banned, and I try to calm them down and say, no, we got guns for a while here in this country. But there's one thing that is very concerning about me, and that is that Maura Healey is on the ballot and for governor in this state, and she is put on paper and demonstrated a hostility towards your ability to keep and bear arms in this state on full display. She rivals Scott Harshbarger, who ran on wanting to ban handguns. And not only is that her intention, but she has also demonstrated a willingness to act in her edict that she wrote in 2016, July 20th, 2016. And that changed 20 years of settled law and settled history in this country and changed the way we have to exercise our right to keep and bear arms in this state. And so there's a lot of that going on. So I imagine as things heat up and we have federally, we have an administration that is very hostile to firearms ownership, who is in control of all three branches of government, this really could get ugly in the next few months. If you ask me, as far as your freedoms and your rights being able to the free exercise of them. The court system has dealt us a huge victory with the Bruin decision, but I still have a record amount of people coming in to get their firearms licenses, which I think they recognize even if politically they don't necessarily agree with guns per se the way that most gun owners do, they also understand that it is a safe and efficient tool to use that can leverage you against a hostile actor, somebody who wants to, you know, harm you or your family. There's no greater leverage than you can employ than a firearm when you're properly trained on the safe and efficient use of it. So I think that people who might not have ever wanted to own a gun personally are starting to all of a sudden warm to the idea of, man, I might need a gun, you know, because there's constant things in the news about increased crime and murders up and people breaking and entering and hot burglaries and home invasions. And not to mention, we had this horrific video come out the other day of this guy in a Chevron gas station who was fully compliant to this armed robbery. And then the guy ordered him to his knees and turned him around and shot him in the back of the head and then walked out. You know, stuff like that that is really unnerving and unsettling people. And they don't want to see their right to keep and bear arms taken away from them by politicians that look down their nose and have security teams and good high-fenced areas around their houses. But for the rest of us, they want to make sure we're disarmed and continue to be a victim for, you know, these hostile actors.
Yeah, really well said, Toby. Thanks for answering that question for me. I think you just gave us a good idea of where things are at right now. All right, let's go to the callers here. A lot of people have questions for Toby Leary. The number is 844-500-4242. Let's go to Randy. You're first up with Toby Leary on Two-Way Tuesdays. Go ahead, Randy.
Question for Toby. I've got a Bond Arms 45-410. And the ammunition they're talking about is for the 45 caliber is a 45 Colt, and you can't find that stuff anywhere. So,
I know where you can get
something in it. I don't want to put something in it that's going to, you know, damage the barrel. So I'm just questioning what I should use.
Yeah, so we have plenty of 45 Long Colt at our shop at Cape Gunworks. You can order it on our website. We deliver in Massachusetts and or the rest of the country. We have a special deal going. If you get $300, it's all free shipping. But anyway, we have the Hornady Critical Defense in the shop and also some of the Hornady Cowboy Action stuff. Both of those would be fine in that Bond Arms, so you're not going to hurt it. If it is a primary self-defense gun, I would probably go with the jacketed hollow point for defensive purposes. But even if you can't find that, some of that lead cowboy stuff is still going to put quite the hurt on something. So I would say both of those would work well. But you're right, it is a hard round to find. But the 410 shotgun shells are also very difficult to find as well. But Hornady makes a critical defense 410 shotgun shell that's a buckshot, and that would be a great alternative to the 45 Colt if you can't find that. So good luck with either one of those, Randy.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Let's go to Dave. You're next up with Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Toby. Here's an odd question. Are tracer rounds legal?
Yes. Yep. Tracer rounds are very much legal. They're not necessarily welcomed at a lot of ranges, especially indoor ranges, because of the fire hazard that they can create. But there's a company called Streak. It's an Ammo Inc. company. Ammo Inc. is probably one of the largest ammunition manufacturers in the country now. They were just a small company, but they've grown exponentially, and they're launching a brand new facility this month in Wisconsin. And they have an ammo called Streak that is in red or green, and it's a cold tracer. So it's done with phosphorescence on the back of the bullet instead of with a incendiary type of device. So it's a whole lot cheaper and easier to get. So if you can't get the tried and true good old like military type tracer stuff, and it's also you can shoot it anywhere, the Streak ammo, because it doesn't have a heat signature. It's not going to heat up and cause a fire.
So all right.
Hopefully that works. But yes, it's totally legal.
Thank you, Dave. Let's go to Lee. You're next up with Toby. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, Toby, at our range, we noticed that a lot of the old German stuff that people are buying online, the phosphorescent, the glow is so worn off you don't even know it till you shoot it. And we have to be pretty careful because it's outdoors and it's dry this year. So
yeah,
that's something that happened to me. Anyway, I was wondering if you noticed the lack of people shooting because of the increase in, you know, the price of the ammunition itself.
That's a good question.
It's a great question. And it's funny you ask this because I was just collaborating with a range, with actually one of the largest ranges in the country. They have multiple locations in multiple states, and they're running very consistent with what we are noticing, and that is that our range is still very busy. We actually are probably up over last year as ammo prices have come back down a little bit and availability has come out. It's not back to where it was pre-COVID, but definitely affordable, let's put it that way. But yeah, the range use is still very strong, and we have a lot of people come in on a daily basis, especially, you know, between like 4 and 8 p.m., people getting off work want to come shoot a, you know, couple hundred rounds before dinner or whatever. So we've actually, that's been very strong. So as I mentioned when Grace asked me what I felt about this upcoming election, even though like some of the foot traffic in the store had gone down as people got back to school, back to work after summer, the range use stayed very strong. So I would say I haven't noticed any precipitous dip in that at all, but people are still enjoying the fun and rewarding experience of going off and shooting some guns for a target or for defensive practice. So, yeah, people have been doing it a lot.
All right, so we're going to go to break here. Stay on the lines, and we'll get to all of your calls when we come back. The number, if you're listening to this segment and you're saying, well, I have a question for Toby, how do I get involved? The number is 844-500-4242. It's 844-500-4242. We have a few lines open, so you still have plenty of time to get on the line with Toby Leary, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, you probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen, cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I have Toby Leary on the line, and he's ready to answer all of your questions. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will DeSantis derangement syndrome be worse than Trump derangement syndrome?
Yes. And this poll question has shifted a lot in the last 2 hours. So I'm going to say yes.
45% now say yes. 55% still believe Trump derangement syndrome will be the alpha strain.
Well, one thing's for certain. There will always be a derangement syndrome of some kind brewing on the left. Okay, now we're going back to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. He's here to answer all of your questions. And I would like to go to Mark, who's been on the line for quite some time now. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, a couple of quick ones. Ruger PC9 carbine, I think it is. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love it. It's a great gun for the money. Like, they're probably one of the most affordable pistol caliber carbines out there with a lot of bang for the buck. So it comes with the magazine that all the Ruger pistols comes with, like the Ruger American mags. And then it also comes with a mag well that you can change out so that it'll take Glock mags. So it'll take Glock 26 or 19 or 17 mag. And, you know, they also make it in a 40 cal, so it'll take the Glock 22 or 23 mag. But they make it in a couple of versions. All of them are a takedown rifle, so you get a lot of feature with this gun. So the gun literally splits in two and slides into a bag, so it's easy to transport and get a case for it, et cetera, and also backpack with, maybe go into the backcountry or ride an ATV or something like that. And then it snaps right back together, And yeah, it's an excellent gun for the money, and there's sub $1,000. You know, yeah, excellent choice. I have a lot of fun with that.
Okay. Yeah, quick other one if I could. If when Governor Healey takes office, and she pulls some kind of Second Amendment shenanigans, can't we all just sue her?
Yeah, definitely. That's the problem. Is most politicians don't care if they're getting sued. They're playing with house money. They have qualified immunity, or they're insulated to some extent from being sued personally. So they're always sued in their official capacity. And they are totally infringing upon your constitutional rights. Now, there is some law or Second Amendment or, Supreme Court ruling that if people willingly and knowingly deprive you of your constitutional rights, then they can be sued personally. So hopefully those type of lawsuits start to come around, because otherwise they don't care. Like, unfortunately, they pass laws and then they say stuff like, well, we know this is going to be challenged in court. And they really don't care that they're clogging up the court system, that they're costing the taxpayers millions of dollars, and that they're infringing upon your enumerated rights, and that it'll probably get overturned at some point, but at least they were able to restrict you in the meantime.
Yeah.
So that's the way they feel about it, you know?
It's making me think of Governor Kathy Hochul and everything she's done as far as the Second Amendment goes in New York. Let's go to Bob. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, my question, Toby, has to do with carjackings. Assume that I have a concealed carry permit. The first question is, how do I carry the gun in the car legally? And the second question is, what are the best tactics for defending against a carjacking using your weapon?
Really good question. Go ahead, Toby.
Yeah. Well, it's a very complicated question. You wouldn't think so, but it kind of is. And I'm going to get to, like, what the end result is of what you're asking. But number one, I still carry the gun on my body when I'm driving a car. So find out whatever way you have to carry the gun so that it's comfortable if you're driving. Because I don't recommend taking the gun off your body and putting it in a center console or the glove box. Or, you know, if you have to, you have to, if you can't make it work. But personally, I like to have it on my body. I've also taken a lot of different classes and taught classes at this point in my career on deploying the gun from unorthodox shooting positions, which one is sitting in a car or even in a seated position. So I would recommend you get some reps in safely shooting from a seated position. Take a class on how to do that, because there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just taking the gun out of the holster, pointing it, and shooting. Believe it or not, there's a lot of nuance to that, and to do it safely as well. So that's the second thing. That is more of an advanced pistol handling type of thing, versus, you know, what's most likely to happen to you, where you'll be standing on your own 2 feet and having to shoot. But with all that being said, you know, if you can't step on the gas and get out of there, if you can't, you know, put it in reverse and get out of there, or somehow use the car to your advantage and put space and distance, then I would say you should definitely take a class that is designed to work well with what your body does naturally under stress. We teach a class called Intuitive Defensive Shooting or Defensive Shooting Fundamentals. Both of those classes are geared towards how your body reacts under stress, how you can get the gun out and deploy it in that situation. And make sure that you're legally on solid ground by the alternative is you or someone you love could be harmed or killed. So that's the whole other side of the equation as well. So
all right. We'll take more questions for Toby Leary when we come right back. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, we've been talking a lot about crime over the last couple of weeks when we have Toby Leary on, people's desire to be able to protect themselves. And a really good example of that is occurring right now in crime-ridden Chicago, where the McDonald's CEO is considering moving the headquarters because they can't get anyone to actually work for them, new hires, because people don't want to move to Chicago and they don't want to change their quality of life. And this, of course, is just one example of many, but I just wanted to bring that into the conversation a little bit, because in Chicago, robberies are up 18%, burglaries are up 28%, and thefts are up 65%. I also read that there were 60 shootings over the weekend in Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago. All right, let's go back to the calls now. I would like to go to Jim. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, hi, Toby and Grace. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. Listen to you often.
Thank you very much.
I'm a member of a pretty big and active gun club in southern New Hampshire, and one of the things that I do at that club is I try to do a bulk order for ammunition and reloading components for both pistol, rifle, and shotgun, mainly shotgun. And I cannot get particularly primers and powder. I mean, do you have any senses to when this is going to clear? It's very, very frustrating. I mean, I'm talking about maybe an order for 100 pounds of powder and 60,000 .209 primers, and people kind of laugh at me. I don't know what your comment is on that, feeling is on that.
Yeah, that's the one area aspect of the ammunition area that has not sprung back. Like, ammunition is starting to come in reliably and consistently and at a reasonable price. Well, primers, powder, bullet heads, bullet cases are still very difficult. Even some of the ammo manufacturers I deal with have not been able to produce an entire caliber for months because they can't get one component or another. Mostly it's casings. They're very difficult to get, especially if they're brand new. Obviously, remanufacturers don't have that problem with casings, but primers, powder, very, very difficult. And I suspect a lot of it is just the backlog of a lot of that stuff is imported. I think there's one or two primer manufacturers in America. There's not many, you know, it's very difficult to get those. And then there's a bunch in Europe, but they were a lot longer in their COVID restrictions, you know, so some of those companies weren't able to open back up as quickly as the ones did here. So I think we're still in this for a little while as it comes to the components. We are able to see a little bursts of them here and there. And I've been able to get a very small amount, but nothing like the demand for them has garnered. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that and selling them for huge money online. So, yeah, Jim, I wish I had better news for you, but I think that we're riding that ship for a little while longer, probably at least the next 6-8 months.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim. Another Jim is on the line. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I have a question on Visa and the government tracking your gun purchases. I was reading about that, and it really disturbs me.
All right, go ahead, Toby.
So for those who don't know, the three big financial credit card companies, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express have all come out with this new merchant consumer code that basically flags any purchases at a gun store and, you know, puts them in a different category, if you will. So they say they're not doing anything with this information, but what is the point of creating this consumer code if you're not going to do anything with it? So it's obviously going to be tracked. It's obviously going to be analyzed. It's obviously going to be probably subpoenaed in different court cases or for whatever reason. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's just another hostile attempt to put yet another obstacle in the path of people who want to free exercise their Second Amendment rights. And you can tell what's really in it based on who proffered it. So you have Governor Hochul of New York and Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, two anti-gun politicians that really were lobbying hard. And then you have Every Town for Gun Safety, one of the anti-gun activist committees out there, championing this as a win. So that tells you all you really need to know, that they're going to use this data for something, whether it be to track you or approve or deny purchases, remains to be seen. But I will say this, that there's been a whole lot more people just coming in with cash and not even messing around with it, to the point where I'm literally thinking about putting an ATM machine in our shop because people are like, I wish I had one. You know, I don't want to use the debit card. And now I want this gun that's in the case, but I got to run out to my bank. If you just put one in, it'd be easier. And I'm like, okay, well, I hear you loud and clear. So we're looking into that because people don't want their stuff tracked. I mean, it's another outsourcing of government to a third-party agency or some other non-government agency to do the work that they haven't been able to do because of the constitutional restrictions upon them. That's the way I see it.
All right. Thank you, Toby. Great answer. Let's go to Tom. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show, talking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Toby. My question is, I recently moved back to Massachusetts from a state where I had a permit to carry, but I've been denied here. And I have a boatload of ammo that's all been stored really well in ammo cases. And my question is, can I sell that? Or do gun shops buy it?
Some do, some don't. Some gun shops might still be having a problem with ammo, but I would be surprised when, you know, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, any gun store in Massachusetts would have bought it right off the rip, no doubt about it. But it all depends on what their in-store policy is. Some people will buy it and then post it as a kind of bargain ammo in their store because it has been previously owned. But, sometimes we buy ammo, and if we can't sell it because of the condition of it, we'll use it for testing guns in the gunsmith area or whatever, or for our own range guns or for our own personal use. But it all depends on the condition of it. And I would just call a local gun store near you. And if there's none near you that are willing to buy it, you can certainly look us up at Cape Gunworks, and we're happy to take care of you on that and give you a fair price for it.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Steve, you're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, I'm from New Hampshire, and I have the Massachusetts out-of-state license, and they never give me the all protection. I have sporting and employment, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Their explanation is really kind of vague. Can I carry in Mass anytime I want? I can just tell them I'm employed?
What I would do, I've heard that they are going to automatically take any restrictions off everybody's license to carry in the state of Massachusetts. I would look into that. You might want to call the Department of Public Safety on that or the Firearms Record Bureau and ask, because I have heard that people with restricted licenses after the Bruin decision came out this summer that they were going to kind of drop all those restrictions because it's been deemed unconstitutional. So. But I would just double check before you get jammed up. But it is vague, and what is sporting purposes, and obviously for employment. But that means if you're going to the range, you can't carry, or does that mean you can't carry if you're going out on the town or going out to eat or something like that? So I would make sure that you should be good to go. But with the out-of-state license, I don't know for sure if they're going to automatically remove all restrictions on those as well. But I have heard that they are doing it for the resident-only license. But they should do it for the non-resident because you're still an American citizen, and that has been deemed unconstitutional. But you might have to ask them to remove those restrictions, which shouldn't be a big deal. So I would check in with the Firearms Record Bureau or Department of Public Safety on that, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We do have a text here that Jared's going to read off for you, Toby. Go ahead, Jared.
Toby, this is from 978. I have my LTC. My grandmother had given me some antique guns. She didn't want my deadbeat uncle to have them. She passed away. I don't have any documentation on them. What avenue should I take? Thanks.
If they are truly antique, in other words, they're made prior to 1899, you don't have to worry about it. If they are not truly antique, then I would jump over on the Mass Gun Transaction Portal and register them. If you Google EF, as in Frank, A is an Apple 10, EFA10. Just Google that. It'll bring you to the Mass Firearms Transaction Portal, and you can just click registration and register those guns if they are, in fact, a modern gun, but they're not made prior to 1899. So you'll want to go ahead and do that to keep yourself out of hot water.
All right. Thank you very much, Toby. We love having you on. Please tell people where they can follow you on social media, where they can listen to your program, and where they can visit you, most importantly, at Cape Gunworks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Grace. So you can always listen to us here on the Grace Curley Show, of course, and on my own personal radio show, which airs on the weekends. It's called Rapid Fire Radio, and you can listen to that at rapidfireradio.us. We also record that at some point during the middle of the week, and you can listen to us live as we record, and you can call in with your questions or text or email them. But that's the best way to do that. And then you can always visit us down at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, Massachusetts. We're on 96 Airport Road, and beautiful location, beautiful time of year to come to the Cape. And you can tour the beautiful pro shop and state-of-the-art range, or take one of our classes. We have tons of classes every week, and we're happy to do that. And then we also have just launched a shipping service for ammunition in Massachusetts, so be sure to get in on that. If you're not in our area but you want to take advantage of some of the great deals we offer, we'd be happy to bring it right to your door. So we appreciate your support of Cape Gunworks, Grace, and look forward to being on with you next time.
All right. Thank you very much, Toby. Here's an interesting statistic, or an interesting poll out of NBC. The latest NBC poll, according to Fox News, of registered voters found that nearly 60% of voters reported that a candidate's position on cost of living is the most important factor when considering who they will vote for this fall, compared to just 37% who say a candidate's stance on abortion is the most important factor. Now, this is the current back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, is what is going to sway these midterms? Are people going to vote because of inflation? Are they going to base it off what they see at the grocery store? Or are they going to base it off of their feelings on the overturning of Roe versus Wade? And my gut tells me that inflation will prevail as the number one issue. And also, you know, there's some polls to back that up. But there's no question that the abortion topic has been in the mainstream media's narrative now for months and months and months. And they're hoping that this bump in the polls is going to save them coming into the midterms. I want to play a cut here from Steve Kornacki on MSNBC before we go to break. Take a listen to cut five.
Of course, what hovers all over all of this, though, is, again, the economy. You saw the Republican advantage on the economy. And when you ask this question about Joe Biden, the effect his policies have had in the economy, a 2-to-1 margin, folks saying it's more hurt the economy than help the economy.
That's weird, though, because he had a party for it. He had a party because he's doing such a good job with the economy. It's strange that people don't seem to be understanding it. This kind of goes back to, actually, Jared, can we find that old cut? I didn't play this yesterday. I'm mad at myself. I didn't play the cut of Joe Biden. Once again, he doesn't just say these incredibly insulting, condescending things once, and then maybe you could write it off as, oh, it was a slip of the tongue. He doesn't think people at restaurants understand the supply chain crisis. No. He does think that, because he comes back again and again and reminds you that that is, in fact, what he thinks of the American people. So this was Joe Biden being interviewed by Scott Pelley on CBS 60 Minutes, and this is what he had to say about the American people.
I think you'd agree that the impact on the psyche of the American people as a consequence of the pandemic is profound. Think of how that has changed everything. The people's attitudes about themselves, their families, about the state of the nation, about the state of their communities. And so there's a lot of uncertainty out there. A great deal of uncertainty. You know, we lost a million people to COVID. When I got in office, when I got elected, only 2 million people were vaccinated. They got 220 million.
You know, Jared, I got to point something out here. He is like a manipulative boyfriend. He's gaslighting people. Oh, it's not that inflation is bad. It's just that you're overreacting. You know, your past experience with inflation is causing you to act like a psychopath. Maybe you should calm down and appreciate how great of a job I'm doing. He's gaslighting people. I know that word's bandied about a lot now, but it's true. He's trying to manipulate people into thinking that it's just their emotional response is making them not understand how great things are. What a jerk he is. All right, we will be back with Howard Lawrence Carr after the break. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is time for the car crossover. And I have a lot I want to discuss with Howie Carr once he gets in here. One of them is that we're seeing all of these shifts from candidates who are getting nervous about their chances in the midterms. A lot of Republicans are catching up with Democrats. So you're seeing people like John Fetterman and Kathy Hochul changing their tunes on some key issues. But I never thought, I expected candidates to change their tunes. Kathy Hochul suddenly upset with Alvin Bragg. John Fetterman doesn't want prisoners just released willy-nilly. I expected that. But what I didn't expect as far as a U-turn, as far as a 180, would be the New York Times singing the praises of Orange Man Bad. Howie, what does this tell us about the current state of the liberal media?
It tells us that they're getting very scared of Ron DeSantis, that he really hit him. He gut shot them with that the delivery to Martha's Vineyard. Has the plane arrived in Delaware, or was that very fake news?
Well, that was from one of those flight trackers, and I do think it said it was going to arrive
1:30. It was supposed to arrive at 1:30, I think.
Yeah, it will touch down around 1:30. So we haven't heard about it as far as I've been just watching Fox, but it is something that could happen. Yeah, it's a weird thing to see this shift from the New York Times, and Howie just hit the nail on the head. They're scared of Ron DeSantis, and what I notice, Howie, is usually if they think you're a contender, they first try to mock you and make you seem ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They skip that step with Ron DeSantis. They're going right to evil criminal who needs to be held accountable.
Yes, he's not charming like Donald Trump. That's a new word. I think if you could somehow search the database of the New York Times for the last 7 years, you would never find the word charming in a story about Donald J. Trump.
Until
this one.
I would love to see Trump's reaction when he reads that piece in the New York Times. Who, me?
And eccentric, too. Not criminally insane, eccentric.
All right, everyone. Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. He's got a great show planned. We'll be back tomorrow.